Good to be in the house of God tonight. Appreciate Brother Mike asking me to preach tonight. It's never a dread. You guys might dread it, but I don't. So, some of you didn't laugh hard enough at that. That's all right. We'll get right into the Word tonight. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. We'll read verses 1 through 8, and I do appreciate those who came out to prayer meeting tonight at 4:30. You coming to church anyway, go ahead and come a little early next week and join us. Be here at 6:30 in the morning. We'll be praying again. I guess we will, won't we, sis? That's the plan. So come out 6:30 in the morning on your way to work. Get a good dose. Might help your day. You just never know. So, all right, stand with me if you would. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each had six wings. With twain he covered the face, and twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off of the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Father, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that it is inspired, Lord, and it is anointed. And Father, I ask that you would do the same for me tonight. God, anoint these lips, Lord, as I bring your word. Anoint every heart, Father, to receive it. And God, I thank you for what you are going to do in this place tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Brother Mike. Now, I know that I have preached on this same passage of Scripture before, but the good thing about the Word of God is you can read the same passage over and over and over, and you can get something new out of it every time. Every time, it's never exhausted itself. And so I thank God for that tonight. And as we get into the Word tonight, just a little bit of background. Under the reign of King Uzziah, Isaiah says it was the year that King Uzziah died. And under King Uzziah, there was a lot of stability and safety and security. There were a lot of military victories. The government had run smoothly. And it would have been easy to get their eyes upon such a man, when in reality their eyes should have always been upon God. And I'm sure that Uzziah's downfall from pride, he was lifted up in pride and he was smote with leprosy. And I'm sure that that downfall from pride and his death from leprosy brought a lot of discouragement in the land. And I'm sure it brought a lot of fear and a lot of confusion. So what do we do now that our king is gone? I'm sure that was what was going through a lot of the minds there at that time. What will we do now that our king is gone? You get your eyes back on God where they should have been to start with. Amen? Our eyes today should not be on President Trump. Our eyes should be upon God. And I won't get real political, but I will say the man has my support, the man has my prayers, and I encourage you to be the same. Support him. Pray for him. He is fighting an evil that most people do not even understand. Okay? Pray for our president. And then and he goes on to talk about this vision that he sees. And he says he had a vision and he sees the Lord sitting upon his throne. And he was high and he was lifted up and his train filled the temple. And he was in his place of power on the throne. He was in his place of authority and honor on the throne. And he said his train filled the temple. Again, a little bit of background into the Old Testament history. Whenever they would go into battle, the king that was victorious would go through the battlefield and he would plunder and he would take spoils from the people that he had just defeated, and they would cut off a part of the robe of the king that had just been defeated, and it would be sewn onto the robe of the victorious king. And the longer his robe was, that showed that the more victories that he had had in his reign. And so he's saying, I see the Lord who is high and lifted up, and I see the train of the Lord, and it is filling this temple, meaning God is a God of victory, and God is a God of power, and God is a God of anointing. God is a God of enough. Does not matter that King Uzziah has just died. I see the Lord, and I see him high and lifted up, and I see his train filling this temple. Sometimes we have to suffer loss in order for our focus to change and get back where it needs to get. And Isaiah begins to tell more of what he sees in this vision. He's talking about the angels who were crying, holy, holy, holy. And understand, these angels have never been in the place where we have been. They don't know what the redeeming power of Jesus Christ or what the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ will do. We are on this side. We are on this end. And we have been set free. We have the blood of Jesus Christ. And we've been redeemed. And how dare we let angels who have never been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, how dare we let them praise more than we praise? How dare we let them get ahead of us when it comes to giving God glory and giving God honor? How much more should we praise God because we were lost, but now we have been found? We should be crying, holy, holy, holy. We were bound, but now we have been set free. We should be calling and crying, holy, holy, holy. I was in the pit, but God drug me out and he set me up on a sure place. I should be crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And as the praise intensified, the presence of God manifested itself in that place, and the posts began to move, and the house was filled with smoke, and it was not from a smoke machine. Was not a man-made smoke. And I'll save that for another message. We do not manufacture a move of God. We do not manufacture the move of God. When we praise, God will show up because he inhabits the praises of his people. And when God shows up, something happens every time because he's God. And because of the manifest presence in that house, Isaiah began to see himself in a whole new light. And he cried, woe is me. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. And I am surrounded by a bunch of people just like me. A man of unclean lips. I will tell you tonight that when you get into the presence of God, he will reveal your sin. When you get into the presence of God, He will begin to talk to you, and the light will come on, and He will begin to reveal your sin. And I believe tonight that that is why there are a lot of people who do not like to be in the presence of God. How many times have we seen, and I've been guilty of this myself in the past, that when the Spirit of God starts to move, we step outside in the back and wander around in the hallways. All of a sudden, we have to have a drink of water. Our kids has to go to the bathroom, whether they told us they did or not. We just want to get out of service. Don't want to be where the presence of God is, because something might happen that we're not comfortable with. He might show you where you are falling short. And it's why some people will press in just so far, just short of a move of God. What if you had held on just a little longer? What if you had pressed in and pushed in just a little bit further that night? That's why a lot of people don't want a move of God. They would rather have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof than get in the altar where they need to be so that God can reveal their sin to them and a change can take place. They would rather act the part and look the part than do what they need to do to be the part. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And when you get your eyes off of the things of this world and you see God in His holiness and in His glory, just as Isaiah did, and you see Him high and lifted up, you will begin to see the filth of who you really are. You will begin to see yourself in the light of the sin that really has control of your nature most of the time. Come on, just be real. We're all people. Come on, we're all people. We're all human. We have temptations. Our flesh gets the best of us sometimes. And instead of coming to an altar of prayer where we need to be, we run as far as we can in the opposite direction. I'm glad Brother Hewitt preached about the altar this morning. Sister Diane turned and said the devil didn't want him preaching about the altar. And I said, uh-oh. It's what I'm preaching about tonight. And I will stand toe-to-toe with the devil to tell you that this altar is the place where you need to be. We cannot get rid of the altars. We cannot ignore the altars. God has a purpose for them. God has a place for them. When you get your eyes off of this world and you begin to see, get your eyes upon God and get in the presence of God, and you begin to cry, woe is me, and then it will be confessed. It be followed by a confession just like it was with Isaiah. When you get in the presence of God and He begins to show you those things in your life that need to be changed, there's going to be some true regret. There's going to be some grieving over sin. There's going to be some godly sorrow, and it will bring about a repentant heart. If you are truly repentant, there will be a turnaround. Not only did Isaiah recognize the sin in his life, but he confessed it. He admitted it with his own filthy lips. He said, I am a man undone. I have a problem with my mouth. He called it what it was. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I'm around people who have unclean lips. Birds of a feather flock together. I have lips that flatter. They lie. They gossip. They deceive. They curse and they kill. And God, I'm confessing that to you right now. He named his sin. He didn't just say, well, there's a little, maybe I could use an improvement. He called it what it was. The church today, people in the world today, don't want to call sin, sin. They want to call homosexuality an alternate lifestyle. They don't want to call it sin. God calls it an abomination. We say, well, I was looking at some stuff that I had not have been looking at on the computer. Maybe there was just maybe I shouldn't have. Call it what it is. It's a lustful heart that's looking at pornography. Don't try to cover it up. Don't try to name it something else. Call it what it is and confess it to God. And we could go on and on. But Isaiah did not try to smooth it over. He called it what it was. From what others could see, Isaiah probably looked like this man of God who was pure and holy. But God knew what was on the inside of him. God knew what was going on with Isaiah. God knew about Isaiah's problem. And one of the angels, here come the angels again. One of the angels flew over and took a live coal from off of the altar. He brought it back over and he laid it on Isaiah's mouth. And he told him that his sin had been pure, had been purged. That sin got a little extra attention that day. Your sin has been purged. My question for you tonight, when you get into the presence of God, if an angel came to you with a live coal from off of the altar, where would he put it? Uh-oh. Where would he put it? If the angel flew down, took a coal, a hot, fiery coal off of the altar of God, and he brought it to you, would he put it on your mouth like he did Isaiah? Would he put it on your head because you've got impure thoughts, things that you're thinking are not lining up with the Word of God? Would he put it on your eyes because you're looking at things that you don't have any business looking at? Would he put it on your ears because all you're doing is listening to filth all day long? Would he put it on your heart because there's greed there? There are things inside that should not be there. Where would God put it? Would he put it on your hands because of evil deeds that you have done? Would he put that coal on your feet because of where you've been walking? Think about it. It's serious business, folks. This thing's winding down. I believe it was Brother Larry mentioned a while ago about a falling away. There's coming a falling away. And there's coming a catching away. Which are you going to be a part of? You can only go one direction or the other. And that's a whole other sermon. Are you going to be a part of the falling away? Or are you going to be a part of the catching away? It's up to you. It's up to you tonight. The purging is never pleasant. Brother Hewitt mentioned this morning, these altars are not to be a place of comfort. They're not to be a place of comfort. Yes, you can come to these altars and find comfort from the Holy Ghost, because He is the Comforter. But these are not to be a place of comfort. When you come to the altar and there is a purging taking place, it is going to be a painful process. The purging will be a painful process, but let it happen. It's going to get uncomfortable as God works on you, but stay in His presence and let the purging continue. Let that purging continue to take place until you are standing pure and holy before a pure and holy God. After that purging, Isaiah heard a voice saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And immediately, Isaiah's hand went up. "Put me in, coach. I'll go. Here I am. Send me." He didn't play 20 questions like we do when we're saying who will serve. Well, what's that schedule look like? What nights am I going to have to, and what time? Come on. As CE director, I hear it all the time. He didn't play 20 questions. Well, as long as I don't have to have anybody call me between 7 at night and 7 in the morning, I'm in. I just don't want to have to go to the hospital. I can't deal with sickness and death. And please don't make me do any home visitations or hospital visitations. If it doesn't require that, I'm your gal. Don't make me work with them babies. Sister Teresa, those 3- and 4-year-olds, they drive you nuts. Don't make me work with them babies. Hmm. As long as I don't have to get up and be here at Monday morning at 6:30 to pray, I'm in. Come on, church. He didn't play 20 questions with him. He just said, I'm in. Isaiah, after he had seen the glory of God, and after he had been purged of his sin, he jumped at a chance to serve. He had just had a real encounter with the one true Almighty God. He had a real encounter with God. And I promise you tonight, and I say I promise you tonight, that if you ever have a real encounter with my God, things in your life will change. You will not ever be the same. Your desires will change. Your heart will change. If you ever have a true encounter with Almighty God, how could you not want to serve? Shame on us. How could you not want to do something for a God that sent His only Son to die on a cross, half naked and humiliated? His life blood bled out of Him. And you still don't want to serve. You can't have a real encounter with that God or with that Jesus and say no. I'm getting some looks. I knew this was not going to be hard to swallow because you know what? I had to swallow it myself. Could this be why we have such a hard time getting people to come an hour and a half early for church to pray? We had an awesome prayer meeting tonight. I'm just telling you. I could have gone home after prayer meeting and still felt like I just left church. Amen, those of you that were here? Yeah. Prepared my heart for service tonight. Could this be why we have a hard time getting people to work in the church? Just because they haven't really had a real encounter. Come in service after service after service and sit in these pews and never have an encounter with God Almighty. Form of godliness. We look good. We don't have any problem throwing money in the tithe plate. Just don't ask me to do anything. Lord, help us. Stand with me tonight, please. Brother Chris, y'all come. I believe, and I believe this scripture backs this up, that when you have an encounter, you will be willing to do anything that God asks you to do. When you have a real encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when you have been purged by fire from the altar, when you've been given a new chance at a better life, some of us here can say amen to that. How could you not have a desire to do something for a God that would do that for you? When you've had a real encounter, you're going to long to be in His presence. You are going to be looking for something to do that will glorify Him. You're going to be looking for something to do that will lead somebody else to Him. When you've had a real encounter, God told Isaiah, He said, you're going to preach to people and they're going to turn a deaf ear. They're going to act like you're not even talking to them. They're going to shut their eyes and they're going to be blinded to the truth that you are trying to show them. The harder you preach, the harder you try, the harder their hearts will become. But do it anyway. Workers in the church, do you ever feel that way? The harder I try, the more I pray, the more I seek God, the more I try to witness to that one person, it seems like the further away they get. Keep doing it. Do it anyway. Church, we need a visit to the altar again. Some of y'all were just up here a little bit ago, but you need a visit to the altar again. See, the altar is a place of change. The altar is a place of sacrifice. When you come into the altars and you have a true encounter, I guarantee you, you will not walk out the same way that you came. Let your visit to the altar tonight, let it burn out the impurities that are in your heart. Let the light of God shine the truth upon you so that you can see what's really going on in your heart. There are some of you say, you know what? I know something's not right. I can't tell. I don't know what it is, but something's just not right inside. You get an encounter with God and you'll know what it is. You may not like what you see, but you will know. Come on, let's come in around the altars tonight, church.